When we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God can do great things if we will just listen. And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to use us, God's people, the church. Sometimes we just think the Holy Spirit uses preachers. That was Old Testament. You know, not everybody in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit. In fact, nobody was really filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit would come on prophets, priests, and kings to do his work. And then he would go off of them. But Joel prophesies about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where it says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And it's talking about that the Holy Spirit was going to be available for everybody. All of those who know Christ. In fact, he pours his spirit out upon the church. And, Christianity is not a clergy movement. It's a people movement. We're what we are? We're Jesus people. We're believers. And there's no difference whether we sit in the pew or we stand behind the pulpit. We all have the same Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to use each one of us in our daily lives. See, you see people I never see. You impact people that I'll never see. I'll never have the opportunity to say a word to them. You come across people in your daily lives that if you would just listen to that prompting on the inside of you. Sometimes that prompting say, call so-and-so. Now don't pick up the phone and call the church and say, have pastor call so-and-so, or have pastor go by the hospital and visit so-and-so. If that's on your heart, you do it. You do it. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. Quit thinking that the ministry are the people who run the church. The ministry is all of us. We're all ministers for Christ. We have all been given a responsibility. We have all been given gifts. We've all been given purpose that God put on the inside of us, and he intended for us to use it for his glory. Amen. Isn't that true? Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the Holy Spirit called One Third Unknown. And that's a little bit of a misnomer, because there's a whole lot more than one third about God that's unknown. We don't understand everything about the Father, and we don't ever understand everything about the Son, and we definitely don't understand everything about the Holy Spirit. Don't think that we ever will. But this is a good title, because it really centers in on a problem that we've had in the body of Christ. And I talk about this every week, and I want to continue to talk about it. That we have either been raised in churches that ignored the Holy Spirit, that did not teach on the Holy Spirit, or had a wrong concept of the Holy Spirit. And many of us were not taught. It's all been about Jesus. And that's good, but there are three. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three. So, or some of us have been raised in churches where the Holy Spirit, just a few aspects of the Holy Spirit, has been talked about and emphasized, and they've gone to extremes in many cases. So people in the middle thinking, okay, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but these people over here that I see that talk about the Holy Spirit, they're just a little weird for me. And we back off, and we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. And let me say, you don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. See, what is the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. What is the Father like? See, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We could even say, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's main job is to reveal Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a different heart or a different nature than Jesus. The Father doesn't have a different heart or a different nature than Jesus. They're one. And so we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but we need to learn about Him so that we can cooperate with Him. Now, one thing that you never need to call the Holy Spirit is an it. How would you like to be called an it? Well, Jim, it's an awesome person. He's not an it. He's a he. Christy's not an it. She's a she. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. He has a personality. He has a consciousness. He's just as much God as Father or Son. They're co-eternal. They're co-equal. Today we're going to look at some symbols of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at six symbols, and if we don't get through with them today, we'll look at them. We'll continue next week because we're not in a hurry on this. But the first symbol that we're going to look at is wind. There are symbols that we can identify in Scripture that gives us a little insight into the Holy Spirit. The first one is wind. Wind. And we're going to look at some Scripture. In fact, we're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. And it says this: "As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything." You know, one thing about the wind is that you can't see it. You can't see the wind. But you can see the results. Now really, if you really think about it, you have never seen the Father. You've never seen the Son. Those are not 8x10 snapshots of Jesus hanging on walls. Okay? Those are not. Those are somebody's ideal of what He looks like. They are depictions of Jesus. You have never seen Jesus. Even though He has a body, even though He has a form, you've not seen the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a wind. He's present. We don't see the wind, but we see the results of the wind. And if you think about it a little bit, wind can take on different aspects. On this side over here, I think about hurricanes. I think about tornadoes. I think about real mighty things that wind can do. And then on this side over here, you know, I think about an afternoon breeze on a hot day that brings refreshing. So that kind of shows us the scope of what the Holy Spirit can be like. He can be strong like the mighty hurricane or the mighty tornado. And He can be a gentle breeze that brings refreshing into our lives. But we don't see Him. John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You know, when we get born again, we are born again by the Holy Spirit. You know, and we'll say a prayer like this, and this is okay. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. What really comes into us when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The Holy Spirit is the one who recreates our heart. He's the one who comes in and baptizes us into Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus are not different in a sense. Even though Jesus had a human spirit, but the Holy Spirit introduces us to the Spirit of Christ. It just makes a distinction. But you don't know how it happens. You know when it happens. You don't know how it happens. You don't see the one that's doing it, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit, being born of the Spirit. And He likes it as unto a wind. Now, there are times in Scripture, And this is one of the aspects that we need to see about the Holy Spirit. There are times that He is very, very strong. Now, among the groups that I have fellowship with, I've been among the Pentecostals and the Assemblies of God and the Charismatics and the Word of Faith. They emphasize the strong power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you this, everything about the Holy Spirit is power. Whether it's a mighty hurricane or it's a gentle breeze, it's all power. And sometimes we miss what the Spirit of God is wanting to do because we have this expectation of this hurricane, this mighty wind. And there is an instance, and I think this is pretty neat. It's found in Acts chapter 2. This is on the day that the church was birthed. And this is what is called the day of Pentecost. And, you know, Jesus had told His disciples 40 days earlier, He says, you go in Jerusalem and you tarry because you're going to be endued with power from on high. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what they were looking for. They were used to Jesus. They didn't really understand the Father. One of them said to Him one time, you know, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be happy. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long that you have not recognized me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So they didn't really understand the Father because, you know, if you think about the Old Testament, you think about, wow, you know, that's a God and He has lots of rules. And Israel, because of their rebellion, had faced judgment and exile and all of these kind of things. So this personal relationship with God was, you know, was a little bit shaky. But when Jesus came, He established a relationship. He became their mentor. He became their teacher. He became their rabbi. And He taught them, and they had a relationship with Him. And so they kind of understood Jesus. They didn't understand everything, but they definitely didn't understand the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what to expect. So it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place, in one mind, in one accord. And then it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, they heard something. They heard something with their ears. And it was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It was not a gentle breeze. It was a rushing mighty wind. When the Holy Spirit first came into and birthed the church, He came in with strong power. He came in loud, rushing mighty wind. And they had an experience with God. They heard something. They saw something. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the thing I want to emphasize here, that it was a rushing mighty wind. And you know, after this experience, Peter stands up and he preaches a message and 3,000 people get saved. So they go and start preaching the gospel. But you know what? There's not another instance in the Bible where there was a rushing mighty wind. You know, one of the problems that we get into sometimes is that we think that it happened that way, and that's the only way that it can happen because that's the way that it happened. And you know, God is not tied to something that happened in the past. And the body of Christ gets into a deception sometimes, thinking that they have to replicate something that happened in the past. What we need to be open to is what the Spirit is doing now. Yeah, thank God for the rushing mighty wind. But you know what? There's not another case in the Bible where the Holy Spirit came in that particular manner. There was a rushing mighty wind. There was cloven tongues like a fire. It set on each of them. They had a great experience with God. But that's the only time in the Bible that it ever happened exactly that way. Now, there's another time Paul and Silas were put in jail for preaching the gospel. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What do you do when you find yourself in trouble? You know, I'm so glad that it didn't say that they griped and complained. Aren't you? Oh, at midnight, they were saying, oh, why did the Lord allow this? Why did the Lord do this to us? I don't just understand. You know, I just don't understand God. No, you know what they were doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Did you know a lot of times, this is a good thought. There's a lot of people around you listening to what you say. Especially when you are in your hard spot. Especially maybe when things are not going the way that they should. And here they were. They were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening to them. I can just imagine what those prisoners were saying. They were probably saying, are those guys crazy? Don't they know that they're in jail? Don't they know that they're in stocks? Don't they know that they've been beaten? And they're praying and praising God. What's up with that? I can just hear them. Yeah, people listen to you. They watch you. When you name the name of Christ, they want to see how you react to life. They want to hear what you're saying. They're hoping that there's something out there that has some reality to it. Too many Christians gripe and complain, just like the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. Every time that there was a problem, why did you bring us out in this wilderness for us to die? At least when we were in Egypt, we had something to eat. They forgot about the bondage. They forgot about the hardness. They lived in the moment. And here Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now listen, that was just not a natural earthquake. An earthquake wouldn't undo everybody's shackles. This was something miraculous. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit came in there in power. He shook that place. You might say, this is the rushing mighty wind. This is the powerful display of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for those times that we have powerful displays of God in our lives. We all need them. We've all had them. I'm looking forward to us having some more of those times in our lives as we need them. But look what happened. Everyone's chains were loose, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. You know, if he hadn't, the emperor would have taken care of that for him. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. You know, that's a miracle. What would happen in the local prisons if all of the doors to the prison flew open? Do you think those guys would stay in there? Every one of them? No. But something so supernatural happened at that point that every one of those prisoners, they didn't leave. It's just like they're thinking, okay, we're staying here to see what happens next. We've seen the miracles. Something great has happened here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now let's look at this a moment. Two things happening here. A move of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working with people to bring about something miraculous. Why does the Holy Spirit move in our lives? I'll tell you exactly why the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. Because He wants to use every opportunity that He can to reach people through you. Well, God wouldn't use me. You just told a story. God will use you. God wants to use you. God has designed you for Himself, so that He can use you to bring people to Christ, to show the world that He's a good God. And those prisoners, they didn't get out of prison. They had to stay in prison. But they didn't leave. That jailer, instead of committing suicide, came out, he got saved, and his family got saved. Those are the kinds of things that you put in the paper. Those are the kinds of things that you put in the quarterly. You know, the Baptist News and the Pentecostal Evangel and all the different publications. Great testimony. Great move of the power of God. We need those. But here's another aspect of the wind. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, it says this, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." Do you see the move of the Holy Spirit right there? It wasn't a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a mighty earthquake. But something happened miraculous in Lydia's heart. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart. See, sometimes we come to a service and we're looking and anticipating something mighty to happen in a service. But you never know. You never know what's happening in a service. You never know what's happening here in this place right now. The Holy Spirit may be opening hearts to hear and heed and receive the Word of God. Is that powerful? Yes, that's powerful. Is that supernatural? Yes, that's supernatural. Is it flamboyant? No, it's not flamboyant. But it's just as miraculous as the rushing mighty wind and the great earthquake. Let's not get our eyes on this side over here so much that we miss what God does through the rest of it. Because He wants to do wonderful things. See, one of the things that we believe God for, every service, we believe that the Holy Spirit is going to talk to every person here today. You may not hear a voice from heaven. You might. I don't know. You might not hear a booming voice. You might not have a fleece. It may just be an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It might be just an inner voice. It might just be that cool breeze on a hot day that says something to your heart that you needed to hear, that brings refreshing to you in your life. See, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. He's like a wind. You can't see it, but He's always at work. He's always here. He's here right now. He's speaking to hearts. He's showing us what we need. He's giving us what we need. And I say this all the time, I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit will say things to you that I don't say, that comes out of my mouth. What I say may spark something on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit will say to you that you need to hear. I know in some circles, you know, they won't say, "Well, Pastor, do you have a word from God for me?" I do. Read your Bible. God will talk to you through your Bible. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want you to prophesy. Or I want you to give me a word. Well, that you got the word. Read your Bible. Pray. Talk to God. See, there's a reason that we say those things. It's because it's not so that we can say, I've read the Bible through 10 times. It's not so that we can be legalistic and we're not marking some kind of thing that we're trying to earn something. No, it is our life. The Word of God is our life. Our relationship with God is our life. It's how God deals with us. It's how He speaks to us. It's how He opens doors. And we know that when we're supposed to get on an airplane and go to Honduras or go to Belize or go to Africa or do other things or just go across town and go to the hospital and minister to somebody or encourage somebody or pick up the phone and say, hey, I've been praying about you. Is something going on? How can I pray for you? Well, I can't do that. Are you selfish? Are you fearful? I might look stupid. You're not going to look as stupid as you will when you stand before God and say, hey, I talked to you. Why didn't you listen? Then you're really going to feel stupid. I don't say that to be harsh. I say it to arrest our thinking. Christian living is serious living. Amen. Thank God for the wind of the Holy Spirit. I didn't really make the whole service about this, but I guess we just did. The Holy Spirit is a wind. He's water. He's fire. He's oil. He's wine. And He's a dove. That's just six symbols of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about. So I want to encourage you to be here. I want to encourage you to come with an open heart to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, what He wants to do in our lives. We got time to have prayer. I want my prayer team to come and just ask you the question today. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is it that He wants you to know? What is He dealing with you about? And it's not mandatory that you get up and come up here. You can pray about it at your seat. But maybe you just need somebody to agree with you or pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you think, I don't know the Holy Spirit. I don't know Jesus Christ. Hey, you're in the right place because you can know Him today. You can invite Him into your life. He'll forgive your sins. You can be born of the Spirit of God today. It can happen right now. So as I pray, if you have a need, feel free to get up out of your seat and come. Father God, just we thank You and we love You today. Holy Spirit, thank You that You're welcome in this place. I know a lot of places You're not welcome in, but You're welcome here. We want to hear You. We want to experience You. We love You today, Lord. We give You praise and honor and glory. Lord, draw people to You. May they have the boldness to respond to what You're saying to them today. And Lord, if they need prayer for anything, may they come. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Come right ahead. Let's stand and worship Him today. His mercy seen. Come on, lift your voice. Holy.